This is the second side of a cassette. And I'm going to ask George some additional incidents or stories he might be able to tell us about, especially about the Jewish community in the early years.
Okay.
I remember as a kid, there was a meeting for the Jewish war sufferers in Turn Hall. This was during World War I. And I remember the speaker there was P.S. DuPont. At that time, he mentioned about the Jewish blood in the family there.
George, I recall reading something where there was a David Snellenberg who was active in the early years. Do you know anything about that? I know one time there was a Snellenberg store on Market Street, but I think after this fellow passed away. Do you know anything you can help us with on that?
Yeah. David Snellenberg had a very popular men's store at the corner of 7th and Market. He had a son, Irv Snellenberg, who was one of the founders of an organization here called the Second Alarmers. And they were a group who would go out, if there was a big fire, they'd bring hot coffee and donuts to supply the firemen. And Irv was a very popular person at that time, too.
Getting back to the political scene, my recollection was that you and your wife Sylvia were very, very friendly with Cale Boggs and his wife. Can you tell us a little bit about that and some of the contact that you had with the Senator Boggs and how you may have helped him or he may have helped you in a way of getting speakers and that type of thing?
Yeah, well, Cale Boggs was a very good friend of ours, as was his wife, Bess. As a matter of fact, as far as the speaker is concerned, he was responsible, when I was president of the Voter Club, he was responsible for us having Jake Javits here as a speaker. I had asked him if there was a Jewish member of Congress who he could get for us, and he says, I've got the ideal person for you. He's going to be a big man in the Republican Party someday. And, of course, it turned out that he was. Jake Javits did reach heights in the party.
Well, it was, you mentioned the Avoda Club. What's that, A-V-O-D-A? And what did they do, and who were members, and were they all Jewish, and what were their interests?
Avoda is a Hebrew word for service. It was a service club of Jewish business and professional people, and we did have the cream of the crop in the organization. I can remember a few of them. It was my brother-in-law Sam Kyle, Harry David Dutz, George Weiner, Sam Handloff, and I could go into many others whose names slip my mind at the moment. If I was prepared for it, I'd probably have more names for you.
That's all right. You're doing fine. George, let's get back to when you get out of high school and you got to look for a job and everything. And how did you ever end up in the newspaper field?
Well, for about 2 years before I graduated, I was writing column stuff for the Old Every Evening, which they accepted and paid me for. After I graduated, about a week after I graduated, I got a call from the city editor one day. He asked me if I would like to cover the Brandywine Summit Camp, which was a Methodist revival camp. And the fellow who was covering it had taken sick and couldn't go there. So I told him I would, and I went out there. I was there for 3 days. And of course, they had this evangelist was quite sensational, and I was phoning in sensational stories. And I got this call to come into the office, and I figured I had done something wrong, was going to be bawled out or fired or whoever it might be. We came in, they asked me if I wanted to come on the staff. So I went on the staff, and I was supposed to go to school down in Washington to take up law. But I was on the staff for about a month, and they put me on politics. I got so infatuated with it that I decided to stay out a year, and that year never ended.
So when you say you were writing some, you know, political type of things. Will you, did you ever go down to Dover and monitor or watch those events and the shenanigans?
Well, I haven't been down there until about 2 months ago. There was a trip from here down to, from Ingleside to Dover, and fortunately, one of the attachés took me around, and of course, things were so much different than when I was there. When I was there, the press room had a table and chairs in it and a typewriter, and that was it, and a telephone. But they're this time, and they have these cubbyholes with the computers in them, and the radio equipment, television equipment. They never recognized the place. It wasn't the same.
How much time did you spend down in Dover in the early years when you covered those type of events, and how did you get the message to up here so that they could put it into the paper promptly?
Well, we had a direct Western Union line from the press room and the legislative hall to the office. And, of course, I typed the stuff up, and they put it right on the line.
Now, you say typing. Are you a hunt and peck man?
Right.
You didn't take the courses then, did you?
Nope.
Can you type pretty fast?
Very fast. The electric typewriter wasn't fast enough for me.
Tell us a little bit about anybody else that comes to your mind on a national scene with whom you may have had some contact.
Well, Clarence Darrow and Clarence True Wilson were here for a debate at the Playhouse in connection with Prohibition. I covered that meeting one evening, and the next morning I was going through the lobby of the Hotel DuPont. Clarence Darrow was sitting in the lobby, and we sat, and we had about a two-hour conversation, very enjoyable, and consequently, correspondence started between us. I have several letters of his, handwritten. To be frank with you, you may have thought he was a doctor, the handwriting was so bad.
Can you tell us a little bit about the movers and shakers and the in the Jewish community in the 20s, 30s, or 40s with whom you may have seen or observed or had contact with?
Well, of course, the top people in the Jewish community included my father-in-law, Max Kyle, and there was Louis Topkus, Charlie Topkus, and Jim Ginns. Of course, I almost forgot there was another Topkus brother there, Willie Topkus, and then there was also Charlie Shagrin, Charlie Brewer, and probably others whose names slip my mind at the moment.
You mentioned that you and Sylvia were married by Rabbi Tavel. He was here at Beth Emeth for a while, is that correct? And did he stay a long time, or how did things go with him?
He was here quite a while, but he went in the armed forces as a chaplain. He became a colonel, and he was one of the highest rated chaplains in the service.
Was he followed by Rabbi Druze? Or did you have, Druze came in after Tavel, didn't he?
There was a Rabbi Fine who went to California, and then Druze came in.
Were you and Sylvia pretty friendly with Rabbi Druze and his wife?
Very friendly, yeah.
Jewish, thanks for being available so that I could take some of this information down, because I want to send it on to the Jewish Historical Society of Delaware. You know they have a good relationship with the Delaware Historical Society, and we'll keep this as part of the record.
Dave,
I'm back on the tape talking to George Stoffman over the phone. It's December 31, year 2000. I had spoken to George earlier today, and he had called to my attention some information on an interview that he had at Temple Beth Emeth and gave me some instruction as to how to get it on the web. I succeeded in doing so, and I called him back to tell him that good news, and he in turn indicated some very interesting information concerning first Jews that have taken positions of responsibility within the community. So I'm going to let George take it from there and tell me a little bit about some of these people and who they are. George, go right ahead.
Okay, Charlie. Jewish Chief Justice of the state of Delaware was Daniel L. Herman, who had been appointed to previously to Superior Court by Governor Albert Carvel. The first Jewish state senator that I can recall was Joseph B. Green, a very popular photographer in the city of Wilmington. I believe the first Jewish representative in Dover was Morris Simon of Dover. The first person of Jewish origin elected to a state office was H. Albert Young, who became Attorney General of Delaware. The first secretary to the mayor of Wilmington was Ralph Saltzman. Several years later, I became secretary of the mayor under Robert W. James.
Now, you mentioned that you worked for Mayor James. Do you know who Ralph Saltzman worked for when he was secretary to the mayor?
I'm not certain, but I think it was Mayor Price.
Okay. What about the judiciary? Were there any, do you remember who the first Jewish judge might have been? Was perhaps...
I'm not certain, but I know that as far as city court is concerned, Aaron Finger was the first Jewish judge appointed there. I'm not certain about the higher courts. I could be wrong if I mention any names. There have been several, both in the Superior Court and Family Court. Of course, Peggy Hagelman will be the first Jewish woman appointed to judge of Superior Court.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then there's Carolyn Berger, I believe, who was in the Court of Chancery and now is on the state Supreme Court.
Yeah.
There are a couple other judges that you are familiar with, I'm sure, was the late Albert Stiftel, and there's other ones in Superior Court that have served or are presently serving as well. George, can you think of any other things that come to your mind now we've got second crack at it on some other ideas? Otherwise, we'll just talk for a few minutes and then close off.
They're the only ones I can think of at the moment.
Okay. What are you going to be doing this evening, it being the last day of the year 2000?
Well, right now I'm watching the Eagles beat the Tampa Bay team, and then we're having a little party downstairs here, and I'm staying in.
Okay. When you say downstairs, you're referring to the Ingleside facility, is that right?
Exactly.
Okay, well, George, I appreciate you giving me that additional information. I'm going to close off now.
Okay.
You take care.
Happy New Year to you.
Right, thank you.